crowd this morning and good singing out. We're so thankful for all the visitors that are with us and all you home folks too. We're glad you're here, but we got so many visitors coming in by the busloads today. And we like to see that. Our hearts and our prayers are with the group from Artesia, New Mexico, as they'll be working downtown Houston at the Impact Church all week and Vacation Bible School there, and we commend you for the work you've done and the heart that you have to come over here and to serve. Karen and I were fortunate enough to be with the group last night at the McMillan's for hamburgers and hot dogs, and you had a lot of good food already to start. So if that's an indication of what's coming for the week, you've got a big week ahead of you. But we commend you, and we're with you in your mission. Other visitors that are with us, we're thankful you're here. If you're looking for a church home in the Katy area, we hope you found one. If you'll just let us know that, we'd like to officially make you a part of the West Park family. The Elder Selection Committee asked me just to briefly let you know. Last week, I mentioned that hopefully today there's going to be some announcements made, but I did tell you that there were a few chores and a few details that were yet to be finished, and we didn't get done. There's been lots of folks out of town this time of year, and it's hard to get everybody together in a meeting, and we just didn't quite get done. So just be patient a little bit longer, and that's coming. They tell me that we're in the short rows right now, so we ought to be getting this brought to the front pretty quickly. But just wanted to keep you informed so you didn't think we'd forgotten. You know, there's just something about knowing inside information. Everybody likes secrets. People like things that you have to say in whispered tones, and they'll listen very carefully. I've noticed through the years when you can't get a crowd to get quiet for anything else, if you just kind of get real quiet and say, I got a secret, I'm going to tell you, they'll quieten down in a heartbeat because they like things that everybody else doesn't know. In fact, spies sell off national defense secrets to nations all over the world. And that's what makes it valuable. It's because it's a secret. Everybody doesn't know it. And then, of course, if you open up your newspapers or turn on your television, any day of the week, somebody is out to sell you a secret. Now, it may be something like beauty. They say we've got this fantastic cream that nobody's ever had this before. And our laboratories have just developed it. And if you'll take it and you'll rub it all over your face, all those wrinkles will be gone overnight. Or you can rub it on and you'll look 10 years younger in just one night. And people want that secret and they'll pay for it. It may be some diet they've come up with. They say you can eat everything you want. You don't have to count calories. You don't have to count carbohydrates. You don't have to count anything. You just eat what you want. And we guarantee you, you're going to lose 10 pounds in a week. Guaranteed. But it's a secret. If you'll send us $50, we'll mail you something back and we'll tell you what the secret is. The secret may be you just eat whatever you want, chew it up real good, and spit it out. You don't swallow anything. But it's a secret. And people will pay to find out what the secret is. I heard a story one time of a man that was telling people, he said, for $100, if you'll pay me $100, I'll guarantee you will immediately get smarter. So one fellow said, well, here, I'm going to buy into that. And he gave him $100. He said, now, what are you going to do for me? He said, nothing. He said, what are you going to say to me? He said, nothing. He said, I believe you've just beat me out of $100. He said, see there, you're already getting smarter. It's working. But people love secrets. And a lot of people want to know the secret of happiness. If you just walk around and look like you're happy all the time, People will ask you, what's your secret? What do you do? What is it that you're doing makes you feel so good? Why do you feel so good? Where do you go to church? Where do you work? How much money do you make? I want to know what your secret is. And if you say, I've got one, they'll show up at your doorstep because they want to know what it is. Now, the greatest secret, the greatest one that everybody wants to know is what I'm calling this sermon there in your bulletin this morning. People want to know, how do I have a great life? How do I really be happy? How do I really be successful? How do I know that I'm successful? How do I influence other people? How do you have your name live for immortality? Now, I would suggest to you that I'm going to nominate the Apostle Paul for a man who must have had the secrets for a great life. You say, well, why would you say that? Just look at his life. I mean, everything he did, he was a wild success at it. He was successful, first of all, at what he started out to be, a persecutor of Christians, a wild, great Jewish zealot. I mean, he was able to brag years later in Galatians chapter 1, when he wrote that chapter. He said, I advanced in the religion of my countrymen beyond anybody. He said, I didn't take a second seat to anybody. That's the kind of fellow I was. He was successful at it. Now, he made a 180-degree turn. He went the opposite direction. Serve the Lord, and he was a success at that too. You know, most successful people are that way. They can be over here in this arena, and they're very good at it, very successful at it, and you pick them up and you put them over here, and they're successful at that too. If they compete over there, they do well. If you put them over here, they do the same thing. Paul's life was that way, and he says, I devoted my life to the preaching to the Gentiles. And what a success he was. The greatest teacher of the Gentiles that ever came along. Paul lived in such a way that he established more churches than anybody else we read about. He handled more church problems than anybody else. His name is on everybody's lips more than anybody else's other than Jesus Christ. He wrote more of the books of the New Testament than anybody else. And finally, when it was over, he was actually able to come to the end of it, and it had been such a wonderful life that he was able to say, I've done it all. I've run the race. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. I've got a crown of righteousness laid up for me. I'm dying a martyr's death, but that's okay. It's been good. It's finished. Now, I'd suggest to you that if a man can live his entire life, and when it comes down to the end, leave his name on earth, leave his name up there in heaven, and say, I have done great things, and my conscience is clear, I'd say he's got the secret to a good life, and I think you'd like to have it, and I know I would too. So, this morning, let's read through just a few select passages of Paul's and see what he did and see how he found the secret. And I think it's found in the book of Philippians, maybe other places also. But it seems to me that the points that were the points, the big mountain peaks to his secrets to secret to a great life, I think they're found in Philippians. The first one I want to point out was read to you just a moment ago. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul said, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. Forgetting. I'd suggest to you the first great principle, the first great secret of a successful life is being able to forget. Now, you may be sitting there saying, well, I've got that whipped. I'm good at that now. I can forget so many things, no matter how hard I try. I just can't remember. I heard the story the other day of one sweet little old lady that walked into the Apple store, the computer place. And she said, I've been hearing about it, and I wanted to come in and buy some of that memory. I hear y'all are selling memory down here. And I need to buy some of it, because I'm having trouble with mine. Well, that's not really what Paul's talking about. Most of us have selective memory, which means we remember the things we want to remember. But it also means we have selective forgetters along with it. We select what we forget. We select what we forgive sometimes too. There's subliminal sermons in here sometimes, isn't there? But we select what we forget. My wife will tell you, she'll say, tell me, I'll say, you're the only man I know that can remember all the points to several sermons at one time up there in your head, and you can't remember to bring something home from the grocery store that I've told you to bring. And that's true. It is. You remember what's important to you, and you forget the things they're not important to you. I can remember a lot of great things that have happened, but I may not can remember what happened last week. It's because certain things are more important. But again, I would suggest that's not the kind of forgetting that Paul's talking about. Paul had to forget, and we do too, about some bad things. Bad things. Everybody needs a real good forgetter when it comes to bad things sometimes. Two little boys that were out playing one day, and their parents looked out, and the game had broken into a fist fight. And they were fighting. And they were really going after it. And the parents had to go out there and bust them up and pull them apart. And the parents went back in the house, and they got to talking about it and said, you know, these kids, they ain't never going to like each other again. They have fought so much, they're going to be enemies for life. Because you see, that's the way adults handle things. But they looked out there 10 minutes later, and they were playing again. Marvelous argument. Terrible fist fight. But 10 minutes later, they're playing together. So they went out there and they asked them. They said, how are you doing this? Why is it that you are playing together after all of the fight you had just a minute ago? And one of the little boys said, me and Tommy, we just good forgetters. We just forget things. Paul had to forget some bad things. He had to forget that he stood there one day in the streets of Jerusalem, and the men came along and they laid at his feet their garments while they stoned Stephen illegally. But they killed him. But Paul knew it was happening. He knew what was taking place. He was there and he participated. Somehow he had to forget that. Somehow in his life he had to forget things like that back there, back behind him. He wrote to Timothy, the young preacher, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. He said, now I was before a blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Somehow, some way, Paul had to look back at his life, at the deaths that he had caused. He had to get that behind him. And though he was always working hard, and we can see it in his ministry, he was working hard to make up for it. He had to more or less say, it's all back there, and I'm not going to let it bug me my whole life. I'm not going to let it weight me down to where I can't do anything else. You and I need to forget some bad things sometimes. Do you realize that some people today think of themselves as failures because they may have failed the first grade or the third grade years ago in school? That's been a long time since they were in the first grade or third grade, but they still go around in life with this little cloud hovering over their head, and they say, I can't do anything right. I can't be successful at anything. I'm just a failure. Some years ago, Dr. Maxwell Maltz, in his famous book, Psycho-Cybernetics, you may have heard of it or read part of it. But in that book, he said, the fact is that you failed, but it is not a fact that you are a failure. In fact, Dr. Maltz said, until you dub yourself a failure, you're not a failure. Until you decide that you are. You may fail 54 times trying the same thing. But you still, as long as you say, I'm still not a failure, you're not a failure. You can still keep trying. You and I, all of us, we need to forget there were times in our lives, each one of us, when we didn't do too well. That's the story of self-image. The truth of the matter is, a bad self-image comes because we remember too well. We remember too well. We can't forget anything. Somebody, somewhere, sometime, back there, told us, you're the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. You're the meanest kid that there ever was. You're the dumbest person I've ever met. You'll never amount to anything. And that just keeps ringing and ringing in your head year after year after year. Paul said, the thing I've had to learn to do is to forget. Forget what's back there. Forget all of those bad things. But you know, we got some good things back there that we need to forget them too. If you really want to have the secret to a good living and a good life, you're going to have to forget some good things too. Paul talked about that in Philippians chapter 3, a little earlier in the chapter. He said, I've profited here and I've done this and I've accomplished that and I've advanced in this area. But Paul said, but it's all rubbish. I count it all as a junk pile for Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean anything. I give up all of that recognition. You know, the Apostle Paul could have had a lot of recognition as a Jew, as a Jewish leader in that day and in that society and that hierarchy system that was going on, but he passed it all over. He said, that's all right, because I'm going to forget that. I'd suggest to us that sometimes there are good things we need to forget. You may have had a great success 10 years ago. That's wonderful. It's a blessing that you did, but you got to quit resting on the oars. You got to quit just sitting in the boat. And you got to get busy again. Paul says, I'm forgetting the things that are behind. That's the secret, both good and bad. Now you can turn around, you can look back, and you can talk about the good old days till the Lord comes again. But I'm going to tell you, as you're gloating and remembering in the good old days, you're liable to die. You may stagnate right there. Because you see, that's the second point Paul makes. First one, he says, I'm forgetting things behind me. But the second thing he says is, I press on. That's verse 14, chapter 3, Philippians. I forget what's back there and I keep pressing on. No matter what has happened in the past, you got to keep moving. Heard the story one time of a man that was running a long race, marathon race. And he was coming towards the end of it, and his body was giving out, and he was tired. He'd run out of gas. And he fell down. And then he pulled himself up, and he stumbled, and he fell down again. And he kept getting up, and he would kind of trip over his own feet, it would seem, and he'd fall down again. And they were filming all this. And as they were filming it, they could see that his lips were moving. So they asked him later, they said, what were you saying? We noticed as you would get up, you were saying something. What was it you were saying as you were falling down and getting up and falling down and getting up? And he said, I was saying, I want to win. I want to win. And with that on his lips, he kept getting up and kept going. Paul said, I press on. Paul, many times, likened the Christian life to that of a Christian race. And he said, you press on. You're always going forward. You never look back. You never hesitate. You never wonder. You keep going. You see, a moving target is hard to hit. And a person who is moving forward is hard to stop. But if you stop and you shuffle your feet and you play the all shucks, ain't it the awful pity party, and you just brood and just sit there, you're going to die. You'll die right there. Whatever happens in life, the direction is forward. You may goof up. You may make a mistake. You may make some terrible judgments. But just like David of old, you can say, I have acted so foolishly, but the Lord's forgiven me. And I'm going to forget, and I'm going to press on. I just got to learn what I can from it, glean what I can, learn the lesson that's here to learn, but I got to keep going. And then the third thing Paul says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, I have learned to be content. Learn to be content. You can't really live a great life until you learn how to be content. Now, I know somebody's going to say, I see a discrepancy here. You just now said, Paul just now said, I need to press on. How can I be pressing on to improve and be content at the same time? Well, here's how you do it. You recognize everything is not perfect, but you're able to say, but what I have right now is okay for right now. I'm happy today. I may do better tomorrow. I hope I do better tomorrow, but for right now, it's okay. It's a tough thing to do, to always be content. Because when you do something, you know it may not be as good as you possibly can do, and so you always wish that you had done better. But Paul said, that's okay. Here's how I got to where I'm at. He said, whether I live in a palace or in poverty, I have learned. And that's the word he uses, folks. He says, I have learned. See, it's a process. I have learned therewith to be content. He could tell Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, if I've got food and covering, let's just be content with it. If I've got something to live with, I can be content. I may want more, but I can be content with that. It's unfortunate that we live in a world, we live in a society when people really aren't very content. We look in the newspapers, we see on the television, we see our friends have something, and we think, I got to have it or die. If I can't get it, I'm not content. One generation walked to school. The next generation rode to school in cars. And now the next generation wants to ride to school in a new car. I won't ride in an old car. I want to ride in a new one. Paul said he learned it. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to be content. We need to be able to say, well, this is what I got. So this is what I'm going to live with for now. I may do better tomorrow. Hope I can. But thank God. Thank God for what I've got right now. I'm living. I'm surviving. I'm doing okay. I appreciate it. And very quickly, Paul's last secret, it seems to me, was when he said in Philippians 4:13, he said, I can do all things. Paul had a lot of confidence. Now, we have in our society today a love-hate relationship with confidence in our world. We really do. Sometimes we'll look at somebody and say, boy, I tell you what, that's the most confident fella I've ever seen in my life. I just love being around him. Somebody else says, that's the cockiest man I've ever met in arrogance. I can't stand him. Talking about the same fella. And so we have trouble sometimes sorting out what we really think about confidence. I want to point something out to you, though. Paul didn't say, I can do all things, period. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's different. That's a different kind of confidence. It is a wonderful thing to be confident in the Lord. You say, well, how do you get confident in the Lord? You read His Word. You read the Bible, and you listen to what it says. And then you say, you know, I believe I can do that. I believe I'll obey that, and you obey it, and you believe that it works. The people who are not confident in the Lord, most of the time, they'll say, I've got this terrible problem. I read what the Bible says. I know that's what God says, but I think I know different. I think I know better. Now, they may not be saying that out loud with words, but they're feeling that, and you see it in action. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. He tells me what to do, and I go do it. Because he and I will be successful. You know, you just can't hardly stop a person who feels like he's got God and heaven on his side. It's tough to deal with him. So these things are what Paul did. Everybody wants the secrets of great living. Everybody wants to know, how do I have a happy, fulfilled life? Paul said, these are the things that I have done. And they sure did work well for me. They're secrets, but they're open secrets. The open secrets of whatever your failures have been, and there's probably been a lot of them. We all have them. We need to forget them. Whatever your great successes are, that's fine. That's good. But you can't just live on those. You got to move to the next thing. Paul says, let's press on. And he says, let's be content while we're pressing on. And let's realize that we can just do anything through Christ who strengthens us. I can't. You can't. But we can with Jesus. That's how you do it. That's the secret. You harmonize your life. You reconcile your life with His wishes. And then the power just flows. This morning, His wishes are that you would become one of His disciples. His wishes are that you would obey Him in the waters of baptism. That you would be baptized and have your sins washed clean. His wishes are that you would align your life with His. this morning, right now. Won't you do it while we stand and while we sing?